My wife, Kathy, and I have three children. Actually, they're young adults now. Sandy and Jennifer and Kevin. They have blessed our lives immeasurably, and we remain committed to them, to their growth, and to their development as members of God's kingdom. In their infancy, we publicly dedicated them to the Lord right here at this church. And we basically presented them to the Lord and said, Father, these children really are yours. They're not ours. And we want you to fulfill your purposes for their lives. We also, along with many of you who have publicly dedicated your children, we ask God for his grace, for strength, for wisdom in raising these children the ways that would honor God. And we also, on those occasions, asked you as a congregation to model the love of Jesus Christ to them. And so many of you have done that, and done that so well, that we thank you for that. Well, it's not Father's Day, it's not Mother's Day. It might be a day where we all should have stayed home, but we're here. And several weeks ago, when Pastor Faulkner asked me if I would teach and preach this morning, I said yes, and I asked God right away for direction in that. And it almost immediately, I was struck by the passage, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And when Doris Hales in our office asked me a short time later, what would I like to be the title for that message? Actually without hesitation, and I just thought about it for a minute. Didn't always happen this way, but I thought, well, why not call it How to Really Help Your Children? And so that's what it is, How to Really Help Your Children. While Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 is for parents in general, certainly the major focus is for fathers. Maybe I was influenced to go this direction in part because at the time I was considering this, there were men in our church who were promoting a Wednesday night study, being fathered by God. Or it may be also being aware of young families and the need for instruction and some struggling, that I was thinking in this direction as well. I don't know, but in my mind, and I'm sure in yours, all who are parents have a most difficult task in raising children. And in any attention we give, you know it, don't you? It's hard. Any attention we give to this challenge from God's Word is worth the effort. So let's jump in for our remaining time together this morning. Ephesians chapter 6 obviously follows on what is written at the end of chapter 5 of Ephesians. Ephesians 5, a great chapter in encouraging Christians to walk with God and to grow in their trust in God and following Him. And certainly, we can say this is true for parents, that from chapter 5, parents really help their children when they grow in their own relationship with God and their walk with God and desire to follow God. We could also say from this fifth chapter that parents really help their children when they, as parents, are regularly filled with the Holy Spirit, when they're depending upon God's Spirit. We could say as well that parents really help their children when they love each other and when they show it according to the pattern in God's Word here in Ephesians chapter 5, His design. And then in chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3, we can say that parents really help their children when they expect their children to obey them and to do what they say. And parents really help their children, chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. I believe the application for our generation, not for slaves and masters, but for employers and employees, they really help their children when they serve their employer wholeheartedly, as if they're serving the Lord. And if the employer treats his or her employees the same way, all of these things really help your children because they model for your children a vibrant relationship with God and dependence on God by His Holy Spirit and love and commitment in marriage and obedience to and respect for authority and hard work with a good attitude. All of these things really help your children and are essential. But we narrow our focus this morning to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. What does this mean? Well, it's clear that there is a negative aspect to this, and there is a positive aspect to this. The negative aspect, don't do this. The positive aspect, do this. To begin with, what is the negative that is stated? Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Maybe some of you were exasperated this morning, and you can define it quite well when you tried to clear off your windshield or start the car or even get out of your neighborhood. Certainly for me, I was a little exasperated coming down Rockwell Road near Hefner. It was quite a surprise. But exasperate here means to irritate or to push to resentment or to lead them to anger that turns to bitterness. And in fact, one of the scriptures that we read this morning was Colossians chapter 3, a parallel passage, verse 21. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Not only they'll become bitter, but they'll become discouraged and they lose their passion and they lose their joy. Don't provoke them, parents, where they develop this kind of settled attitude toward life, where they're angry, where they're bitter, where they're discouraged because of something that you're doing to them. As we consider this, it's important to see from Ephesians that the Apostle Paul addresses the issue of anger in the lives of adults as well before he comes to this teaching for parents toward their children, for fathers, for parents, for grandparents. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, and Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, if you would just turn there for a moment. Ephesians 4, 26, in your anger, do not sin. So obviously there is some aspect of anger or certain kinds of anger, probably more of a righteous anger at injustice, these types of things, that are okay in God's perspective. But with that kind of anger, even that kind of righteous anger, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't give the devil a foothold. In other words, no matter what kind of anger you have, deal with it daily, every day. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, first for fathers and parents and grandparents perhaps who are helping to raise grandchildren, let all bitterness and rage and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. Put away all that stuff. To put away that stuff means to remove it from your life. Fathers, parents, grandparents, do you have a slow burn inside of you? Now it's clear when we think about exasperating our children, there are certain behaviors on our part as adults that contribute to children becoming bitter and angry and frustrated. Obvious things like comparing one child to another. Why can't you be like, you fill in the blank. Or negative criticism where they're basically hearing a lot of cutting words from us and criticism and lack of praise, and we tear them down. You know, if there is a constant atmosphere of this kind of stuff, it leads to rebellion on the part of children, or it can give them an extremely low opinion of themselves. Ignoring them can cause this. We're too busy. There's a lack of quality time. We have an unwillingness to relate to them, that is, to enter into the things of their generation and try to understand what's going on in the mindset of younger people. Or it could be that we exasperate them when we control them or try to control them, either by having too petty of rules and regulations. On the other hand, sometimes we as parents are overly permissive and anything goes, and that can frustrate and exasperate a child as well who's looking for some security, looking for some stability, looking for some boundaries in their lives. But the larger issue, fathers, parents, and I'll include grandparents this morning, we can cause our children to become bitter and angry. And let's get to the source. We cause them to become bitter and angry when we are bitter and angry people ourselves. I became very aware of this back in the early 90s. Our daughter Jennifer was 4 or 5 years old at that time. And I had taken her up to the McDonald's here on the corner of Council and Northwest Expressway back in the days when they had an outdoor playground. Some of you remember the netting and the area outside they had and the plastic balls inside and so forth. And they had this little measuring device there that a child would stand under, and if they were okay size-wise, they could go in. If they were taller than that, they were supposed to stay out. And Jennifer and I were sitting outside, and she had crawled in there and was playing with the plastic balls and so forth. And lo and behold, a couple of boys drove up in their bicycles, and surely they were about a foot taller than that measuring device there. And well, they crawled right in there, and they began to throw the plastic balls at each other. And then they noticed my daughter Jennifer, and they began to pick up these plastic balls and toss them at her, you know, a little plink at a time and so forth. And I want to tell you, there was something inside of me that just exploded. And I tore into those two guys. I don't remember my exact words, but basically I said, you guys shouldn't be in there in the first place. You're way bigger than what's supposed to be. And if you take one more of those plastic balls and throw it at my daughter, they weren't hurting her. You throw one more at her, I'm going to. And whatever I said, they got up and they got out of there and they rode off their bicycle. Now, on the one hand, I want to tell you that after that explosion of anger on my part, I actually felt better. And I think part of the reason is because by nature, I keep those kinds of things inside. And at the time did not find appropriate ways for dealing with that anger. But on the other hand, it was an out-of-body experience. Maybe some of you have had those like that. But I thought, oh man, what's my daughter thinking about her dad on this occasion? And I learned that I needed to talk to God about it, and I needed to talk to someone else about it. I had to face it. I had a problem with anger, and I had to discover the roots of my own anger and the roots of my own bitterness to learn more effective ways to deal with it and to remove it from my own life. So it's extremely important, A way that we can really help our children is to honestly ask and answer the question, am I an angry person? Is my soul shriveling up inside? Do I have a hard outer shell that's almost untouchable? Am I losing passion? Am I losing sensitivity? Am I losing compassion and tender feelings? Is that happening to me? And if I don't deal with this, I'll just pass it on to my kids. Is anger a dominant emotion in my life? You know, there are some of you who perhaps were raised by angry parents, by an angry father. If so, you've got to face it. You've got to learn how to forgive. You've got to remove that bitterness and that anger from your life for the sake of your children, for the sake of your grandchildren, for your own sake, your own health, your own future. You've got to take responsibility for that. You've got to cry out to God for His help to get rid of it, and He will help you. He will help you. And another thing, fathers, parents, grandparents, do you really believe that God loves you? Do you really believe that? I've discovered some fathers and parents and grandparents who disconnect when they come to really believing that God loves them, really loves them. They have a hard time with that. They accept that intellectually, but they really think that He's just waiting to crush them, to point out their mistakes, to rub their sins in their face. Do you feel that way? Are you a person who, rather than feeling that you're loved by God, instead feel like God is often angry with you? He just does things to exasperate you, to make you angry and bitter toward Him. You say, I know that's not what God's really like. I've never seen that in His Word, really. He doesn't do that. The Bible doesn't teach Him that. That's not in His character. But you'd honestly say, but, you know, that's my response to some of the things that He does or doesn't do in my life. Makes me feel bitter toward Him. That's where I am today. I often feel like blaming God. Well, if I'm a parent and persist in that attitude, my children are going to pick up on that, whether I realize it or not. What will help you to more strongly sense God's love for you? I don't know. I'm sure there are a lot of different things that people would say here, that things that help me to appreciate God's love in more of an experiential way. For some, it may be listening to music and praising God, even when you don't feel like it. For someone else, it may be cuddling up close to your pet, a dog or another animal, that you sense that unconditional love. For others, it may be a family member or friends who treat you that way. And some people, it's stories. For some people, it's reading children's stories that communicate love in a real tangible way. Who knows? I think the bottom line is, though, that we all will feel that way sometimes, that God doesn't really love us. But rather than focusing so much on the emotional aspect, let's remember the most important aspect is that God demonstrated His own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. By far, the number one means of discovering and experiencing the love of God is to look to the Lord Jesus over and over and over again, remembering Him, the Lord's Supper, contemplating what He did for you, for me on the cross. The obvious statement here is you really help your children by first dealing with anger and bitterness and blame in your own life. Forgiveness, basking in the love and grace of God for you, learning to love them like God truly loves you. I believe that the Christian father and parents and grandparents who settle their own issues of anger and bitterness as they arise in their lives and grow in their appreciation for the love of God and their experience of His love are much more able to parent in ways that won't exasperate their children. Starts with us. It's a teaching for fathers. There's teaching for children. It really does start with us. Well, you really help your children. That's the one side. The other side is you really help your children, and much more briefly this morning, when you bring them up in the discipline and the admonition of the Lord. To bring them up means to nurture them. It means to nourish them. It's an interesting word. Paul uses that in Ephesians 5, verse 29, for feeding and caring. A husband feeding and caring for his own body. And the implication, feeding and caring for his wife as Jesus Christ feeds and cares for the church, his body. Nourishing, nurturing in these relationships for life, for growth, for development, nurturing them by what they need to live and to grow and to develop. Husbands are to be involved in this process as Jesus Christ is involved in that with us as His church. And fathers and parents and grandparents are to be involved in that same process in nurturing and caring and providing for the needs and the atmosphere of growth for their children and their grandchildren. So bring them up to nurture or nourish them in two ways, in the training or discipline of the Lord and in the instruction or admonition of the Lord. We train them, we discipline them mainly by our actions. That's the emphasis of this word. It's our actions which discipline them. And that discipline is not particularly the aspect of punishment, although that can be included, but more it's a discipline by molding their character in the Lord's ways as revealed in Scripture, encouraging and rewarding good behavior and attitudes, holding them accountable for behaviors and attitudes that are destructive and harmful for a character that pleases God. I think this includes pointing out to children and grandchildren things that we identify over time in ways that God may have made them or gifted them or given them talents and helping them to see, directing them in their character development, you could be good at this in your future. You might be good at that in the days ahead. God could really use you in this capacity, helping those children and those grandchildren to expand their minds and their horizon because of the input that you're giving to them, not only by your words, but by your actions, pointing out their abilities and skills that they do well, helping them to see where God's gifted them. So as a dad, as a parent, by your actions, show your kids how to do things that a life that honors Jesus Christ involves. Help them to be accountable. Nurture them from a heart of love in your actions that will mold their characters that please Him. And secondly, we nurture them in the admonition of the Lord. The primary emphasis here is on the words that we speak, the admonition that not only for instruction, but it includes the aspect of warning here. Those of you who have parented children and grandchildren, just think about how often over the course of your parenting you have warned your children about something. It doesn't end, does it? It doesn't end. There are always dangers. There are always. But on the other hand, we can't be so controlling in this aspect. We can't be so strict in this aspect that we don't give them room to breathe and to grow and to fail and to try new things, to take meaningful risks. But the nurture in the admonition of the Lord is instruction or counsel to avoid a certain course or to stop a certain course of conduct. But there's also, again, a warmth to it, an atmosphere of love for the child, out of a heart of love, encouraging, instructing, and warning them by your words. With our children, sometimes that was reading the Proverbs and talking about Proverbs together, or if there was an issue in one of their lives, having them go in their room and writing out certain Proverbs repetitively over and over until that particular truth was ingrained, that practical warning or instruction was ingrained in their way of thinking. But we nurture them in our actions and by our words in things of the Lord. The most important thing that we want for our children is that they come to see their relationship with God through Jesus Christ as the most important thing in their lives, the most valuable thing in their lives. Colossians 3:16, the first part says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach, as you admonish one another with all wisdom." It's God's word that we want to plant in their lives through our teaching, through our admonishing from our own hearts. What God is doing in all of our lives, isn't it? Turn briefly and quickly to Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 5 through 11. See if this sounds familiar to what we're talking about with fathers and parents and grandparents with these children. Ephesians chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. "Have you forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons? My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as a discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." All of us are nurtured by God through his discipline. And clearly, he disciplines us for our good and for developing qualities in our lives that will stand the test of eternity. It's what God is doing in all of our lives. And all of us are nurtured by God through his admonition. I'll just read a couple of verses here. You don't have to look them up. 1 Corinthians 4:14, "I am not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as dear children." 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, "These things happened to them," that is, the Israelites in the wilderness, "as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come." So God disciplines us as believers in Jesus Christ and admonishes us out of his love and for our good as an evidence of his love for us, not abusing his authority. But he teaches us and he admonishes us through these means, so that we might learn and develop and grow in our character, that we might learn lessons that will last throughout all of eternity. And God, I believe, does this by bringing us from need to need in our life. Not necessarily want to want in our life, but need to need in our life. God knows our needs. He is working to meet those needs in His involvement in our lives. One practical thing that helped Kathy and me, and still does, to nurture our children in teaching and instruction, in molding character and in warning them, was a little book called Seven Things That Children Need. And it was written by a Mennonite pastor in Scottsdale, Pennsylvania. John Drescher is his name. When I was in seminary and shortly after Kathy and I were engaged, I took a class called Family Life. And Kathy would come over on occasion. It was an evening class and attend that with me. And one of the required reading books was this book, Seven Things That Children Need. And being a guy who was, you know, a believer for about 5 years and thinking about future and marriage and raising children, I was wide open. Of course, I highly value the parenting my parents gave to me as a child growing up, but I was looking for some real practical help. And I found this book, and I just really fell in love with it. But he identifies seven things that children need. He says that they are significance, security, acceptance, love, and be loved, praise, discipline, and God. And seven of the most basic needs of all children, and I think, in fact, seven of the most basic needs that all of us have, even as adults. Knowing what our children need, then lovingly committing ourselves to meet those needs by God's help to the best of our ability. You know, this is one resource that was helpful to us. We both marked the book up. We both wrote notes in it. We talked about it. And we tried to do a lot of those things, not in a rote way or a mechanical way, but to be mindful of their needs. And he traces through the different ages of children and characteristics of children in those ages. But it was helpful to me. Many of you have found resources that are helpful to you. But I really believe that God is like this, that God works to meet our needs. He knows what they are. And that we as parents can take that same aspect to heart. Understanding the needs of our children and to the best of our ability by God's help to meet those needs. I have left out in the foyer some copies of some bullet points of that book that will give you a flavor of some of the things that were helpful to us. And I thought I had one here too. You know how it goes. Everything but what you want. Anyhow, he identifies some ways that can be helpful for you to meet the needs of your children and your grandchildren. Very practical helps that way. Whether you're married or not, whether you're single, whether you're divorced, whether you're the children of married parents or divorced parents. Bottom line is, we really are all in the same boat. We all stand in the need of God's grace, of God's love, of God's forgiveness. Some of us have not forgiven parents who were harsh with us. Some of us have not forgiven. We're children and we have not forgiven. Some of us are parents who have not forgiven parents before, and so on and so forth. But by God's grace, we need to be aware of how to break the cycle. Let's do that by God's grace. Oh, Father, take these words, particularly from your word this morning, and implant them in our hearts and our minds. Help us, O God, to experience your love, your forgiveness, to be able to pass that on to others,
And if we're parents or grandparents, especially fathers here today who struggle with anger, oh God, get to the root of it. Help us to deal with it and to remove it from our hearts and our lives. That what we pass on to these precious ones might be that which will help them the most in their walk with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Rick.